You know, call us. It's your Cape Talk. Call us at 021-446-0567. Drop us a WhatsApp voice or text message on 072-567-1567 and join the conversation.
Tonight with Ismail Lakhadine in for Lester Kivett
on Cape Talk.
Welcome back. What have you been doing during this lockdown period? Very many of us, well, I don't have a television, but very many people have been binge watching a lot of series and movies and various platforms. There's one, you know, one of the producers I have the luxury and the privilege of having two outstanding people taking care of me, Amy Ray Rispel and my rock, Brett. Without Brett, I could not do this. But, you know, they wrote down something here for me about Money Heist Season 5. Now, I should, you know, you probably expect the host of the show to know something about these things, but I have to admit, I don't watch TV. I don't have a TV. And so a few weeks into lockdown, the odds are you're probably marathoned through the very best new and old shows that is on the line and on offer. So fortunately, there are plenty of slightly more overlooked shows tucked away, from hidden gems to new movies. But what we'll do now is we have on the line a City Press journalist, Phumlani Langa, who joins me for the most popular streaming picks of the week to uplift or distract you, and some of those hidden gems that you can start streaming immediately. Phumlani, good evening.
Good evening, sir. How are you?
Very well indeed. Well, your first pick is from Netflix, and it's one of the most viewed series right now. It's called Money Heist.
Yes, Money Heist, or La Casa de Papel, as it is known in Spain.
Right, right.
Yes, it is very popular. It's been trending both on the Netflix platform rather, and on Twitter ever since it came out. It's part four, rather, if I can correct you. So basically the story entails a lovable group of robbers who win Spain over with their antics. In the previous season, the leader of this gang who kind of take over the Bank of Spain and make off with quite a lot of money finds himself, finds his back against the ropes in the third part of the series.
Right.
He's forced to orchestrate another elaborate robbery to, one, gain more funds, and two, free a member of his gang who was apprehended after the previous heist. So it makes for, a rather twisty tale, a lot of suspense, a touch of that telenovela kind of drama feel, which I could have done without, a lot of love stories seeming to find tinder and sparking in this high pressure situation. Doesn't really make sense to me, but it's there. Yeah, exactly. But I'm really, really impressed with this show. Even if, you get to, maybe engage with the script more when the show is in a foreign language. You get to read the subtitles, and the Spanish language translates beautifully.
That's great. And I see El Profesor has a plan to pull off the biggest heist. Let's take a listen to a little clip from this, Phumlani, before we move on to your next suggestion.
Sure. Things are about to get very ugly. I can't sit by, I come out guns blazing.
It's time to roll.
Let's go.
2011, the European Central Bank made 171 billion euros out of nothing. Just like we're doing. But not for the bankers.
This is a beautiful moment.
Listen up, guys. We're gonna solve this robbery in 24 hours. We need to get back to our lives. We've already neglected them enough.
This time, we can walk right into a trap.
Phumlani, your next suggestion is a movie sequel for the little people, Paddington Bear 2.
Yes, indeed. Look, full disclaimer, I have not seen the first one, but I gather it involves this young bear from Peru traveling to London after living with his aunt and uncle in the jungles of Peru.
Right.
It's cute and cuddly, perfect for, it's an hour and a half long, so maybe perfect for just before the kids go to sleep. The premise being Paddington pretty much trying to get to grips with life in the workplace as he tries to save enough money to buy his auntie a 100th birthday present, which I thought was quite adorable.
Oh, that is. Yeah.
There's a few noticeable actors in it. Hugh Grant makes an appearance. He was obviously once one of the best leading men to come out of England. They also have Richard Ayoade, who's perhaps the most famous for his work on the IT crowd at the...
I love Richard. Yeah, he's wonderful. He has such a style. I just absolutely love him. But let's listen to a little a clip of Paddington Bear 2.
Absolutely.
Dear Aunt Lucy, you sent me to London to find a home. I have a wonderful family.
I like that you're in great shape for a man your age, Mr. Brown.
Ah, thank you, Paddington.
Hang on, how old do you think I am?
Oh, about 80.
And I've really got to grips with how things work.
Mr. Gruber!
Come in!
I'd like to get my Aunt Lucy a birthday present.
How about these rolling shoes?
Please, Mr. Gruber, be serious.
What's this?
This popping book is the only one of its kind, and they want a lot of money for it.
I'm going to get a job and buy that book.
Hello, window cleaner!
That sounds like a lovely little show there. Now, let me just say that, you know, the reason I don't watch TV is quite simply because I don't own a TV. And even if I did own a TV, I just couldn't afford it because I believe everything has to go through some box or something. But I do want to give a shout out to somebody who just sent me a note, Davinia Jetu, who helps me get through by recommending movies for me. So, but you know, let's just your third pick is a Western and a kind of a dystopian television series produced by HBO on local streaming show Showmax. Tell me about it. Tell us about this Westworld.
Westworld is pretty much their third installment, rather the third series. And I'm really excited about this one. This might be one of the best television I've seen since HBO's Watchmen, which came out last year, if I'm not mistaken. So the idea behind Westworld is this futuristic theme park where people can pretty much live out their fantasies, whatever those might entail. You know, cowboys, whiskey, and bullets. It's so impressive. It's really top tier to me. The cast really does wonders. The women in the series are absolutely phenomenal. Dolores, played by Evan Rachel Wood, is just, I don't know, the character is so rich. And there's a few questions that are left unanswered towards the end and a couple of the story arcs that are maybe not complete. One particular character in the series, Ed Harris, who plays the man in black, there are reports that he spoke to the media overseas and he wasn't really impressed with the arc of his character on this season. I don't know, you guys can let us know what you think. But look out for Aaron Paul, who's perhaps also best known for playing Jesse Pinkman in the iconic Breaking Bad. He's involved in this season, as well as Vincent Cassell.
Vincent, is he in there?
Yeah, you know him. He played the Mark in one of those Ocean's movies.
No,
he's kind of in there to replace Anthony Hopkins as the, you know, headliner, marquee kind of name. But I'm really impressed, to be honest. There's an episode called Genre,
yeah,
which is some of the most thrilling TV I've ever seen. I've been walking around trying to figure out how the creators did it. It basically involves Caleb, the Aaron Paul character. He's drugged by some assailant or something, and this narcotic kind of makes life for him seem like film genres, and they change each style to kind of represent the stages of his, you know, journey under the influence of this, this, you know, narcotic. It's really quite impressive. I was stunned.
Pumani, they have quite an impressive cast. I mean, because, you know, I have, there's this joke that I made once. I won't tell you where, because that, you know, I'm bald, and Ed Harris is bald, and I always used to say, I wish I were as handsome as he was, then I wouldn't mind being bald, because it was just a joke. But, you know, so he's a brilliant actor. He's brilliant.
No, absolutely.
And then Vincent Cassell, I know from another life. He's from Paris, and he's also a great human being. But and Anthony Hopkins is in there.
Yeah, Anthony Hopkins was in the previous season, so he's since been replaced. His character was killed off. Hopefully, that doesn't spoiler for anyone who hasn't embarked on this journey yet. But yeah, as you say, the cast is littered with phenomenal actors. Tessa Thompson is also in this. Tandy Newton, as I said, it's really well put together and so clean. Their portrayal of the futuristic world outside the theme park is immaculate. You know, motorbikes and cars that drive themselves, and it's really quite an odyssey.
I like the robotics part of it because you know I have an interest in artificial intelligence and robotics, so I should perhaps look at it, watch it, and you know, Westworld, I might learn something. But let's play a little clip from Westworld.
You came back.
You know, if I could stay right here with you, I would.
Just sometimes I feel like the world out there is calling me.
You're one of them, aren't you? You're not real.
Bring yourself back online.
Do you know where you are?
I'm in a dream.
You're in my dream. I designed every part of this place. It's not a theme park, but an entire world.
You and everyone you know were built to gratify the desires of the people who pay to visit your world.
Just don't forget, they're not real. What you and I do is so complicated.
I need your help, Dolores. I think I made a mistake.
So our creatures have been misbehaving.
I think there may be something wrong with this world.
No choice you ever made was your own. You have always been a prisoner.
What if I told you I'm here to set you free?
Very old friends.
No, I wouldn't say friends, Dolores. I wouldn't say that at all.
Anthony Hopkins makes my skin crawl. You're listening to Cape Talk. This is Ismail Akhirin. I have online with me, you know, the eloquent Pumlani Langa,
and
we're discussing binge watching during this COVID lockdown. And please let us know what you binge watch, and call us at 0214460567. Drop us a WhatsApp voice or text message at 0725671567 to join the conversation. I know my sister watches Ertugrul or something like that. I don't know if you've seen it or if you know anything about it. But, you know, if it's too much effort, you can have some comedy and laugh in them. The quarantine blues away. And this is how we get to Night School, Pumlani.
A Heartbeat production brought to us by Kevin Hart. What do you think of Kevin Hart there, Ismail?
I actually like Kevin Hart. You know, I'll admit something, and all South Africans are going to hate me for this. All South Africans. I don't think Trevor Noah is funny. I'm old school.
I'm inclined to agree with you. I don't know.
I mean, I'm a Richard Pryor, Chris Rock. They are funny, you know. Trevor, we like Trevor because he's Farah Samson, and he's one of us. You know, we have to. But anyway, so sorry, I interrupted you there. So go ahead.
I definitely get you. That's probably what makes Kevin Hart so popular. I was just watching this film and considering his style and approach to comedy. He does give you a bit of Eddie Murphy, a touch of Chris Tucker.
Oh, really?
Kind of all, you know, rolled into one.
Yeah.
So in this film, he takes up the role as Teddy Walker, this very opinionated high school student who leaves high school, rather, without getting his GED diploma. He does manage to achieve some of the goals by becoming some of his goals in office school by becoming an upstanding salesman at a bride store. They kind of sell bride cookout gear. And but things go wrong when he blows the shop up a few days before he's about to be made manager.
Right.
So then this forces him to now consider his schooling and seek out a night school so as to get his diploma and get a job in the finance sector through a friend of his. It's very pleasant. It's watchable. It's not demanding. Kevin Hart is plays alongside Tiffany Haddish, who's the second lead in this as the night school teacher. And I really like her. I think she's really, really good at what she does.
Right.
And the two spar and work and bounce off each other well. It's pretty much Kevin's usual loud mouth, reference-based humor with a touch of slapstick. I would like to see something else from Kevin Hart, something a little more gripping or dark, see some of his range.
Right.
But, he wasn't involved in a near fatal car accident last year in September. So, at least he's still around. Obviously, he's famous for selling out Madison Square Garden. He's just an all-around, I guess, popular guy,
He does a skit, of driving along the road and alongside him runs an ostrich, and he does a really good take on the ostrich just looking at him while running at high speed. But what is your, if it's not on this list, what is your favorite, what has been your favorite binge watch over this lockdown?
I've really been getting into some things. I'm currently rewatching Prison Break.
Oh yeah.
Just to see, if I was right when I was younger, if it is as good as I remember.
Right.
I'm watching this National Geographic show called Mars, which is kind of a docuseries.
Right.
Pretty much kind of providing information on what it is Elon Musk is doing, trying to launch rockets that are reusable and his mission to Mars. And they kind of dramatize parts of it, wherein a group of astronauts actually does reach Mars in 2035 or something like that. But there's tons of stuff, really, on both Showmax and Netflix. I must really say that it's quite commendable what Showmax is doing and giving local talent a place to, like a shelter. They house so many local films on their platform. Which is just like a living library for people who make local content. We can get to engage with it more easily.
That is a good reason for me to actually, it's out of my range at the moment. But, the Mars series sounds fascinating because, I have an interest in physics and by extension astrophysics, and so I'm interested in Elon Musk. He's not one of my favorite people.
Yeah,
but the science that's underway is quite fascinating. So this is a National Geographic documentary series?
Yes, which is available on Showmax. And it's quite interesting, I would say. I think it's 2 seasons, like 6 episodes. So kind of quick half an hour short bursts of entertainment, but it's good.
And a lot of this stuff is, not a lot of it, but, is available on YouTube too. And, for those of us who don't have TVs or don't have subscriptions, we can catch a lot of stuff on YouTube.
I think naturally these platforms kind of try to prevent that from happening to an extent. But I don't know. You could maybe seek it out and try to find it elsewhere. I don't know.
Well, Purmani, it's been a great pleasure talking to you. We can go on forever because film is my favorite art form. Do you do regular film reviews? And
yes, I do. As regular as we can. Obviously, given the COVID-19 coronavirus, it's been a little bit difficult to go out and see viewings or anything. In fact, there aren't any.
Right.
But yeah, we still, we try to look back at what's come out and what is still coming out. I mean, we've had 2 South African shows picked up by Netflix in the last couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. A show called Jaiva, and of course, Kagiso Lediga's Queen Sono season 2. So hopefully once those enter production, we'll be able to bring you guys closer to the action, I guess.
Yeah, I noticed also a lot of shows have reached the end of their seasons, and because of the production standstill, they can't make follow-up series. And
it's very tough times. I mean, even with Westworld, I saw clips on Instagram of Thandie Newton actually doing some voiceover work to kind of fill in the dialogue in her car at her house.
Right.
On an iPad, and I imagine she was going to mail that off to the studio. So it's everyone's just trying to adapt, you know. It's
Well, you know, it'll bring out the creativity in all of us. But, you know, Pumlani Nkosi Kakule, thank you very much for being, online. And I hope we can talk again under better conditions than, the lockdown. But for now, these are the shows that we've been binge-watching, and I appreciate you being with us.
Thank you so much. Thank you very much for having me.
You're welcome.